أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا قيما لينذر بأسا شديدا من لدنه ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا ماكثين فيه أبدا وينذر الذين قالوا اتخذ الله ولدا ما لهم به من علم ولا لآبائهم كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم الحمد لله. Today we have started Surah Al-Kahf. Alhamdulillah, we just about completed half of the Quran Kareem in the tafsir of in English. I started 27 years ago, so probably take another 27 years to finish it. Probably I won't, whether I'm going to last that long, I don't know. Make dua, Allah grant us a long life, inshallah. Baki Allah Ta'ala accept whatever has been done. And may Allah grant us the barakah of the Quran, the nur of the Quran, the understanding of the Quran, and more importantly, to practice upon the Quran and the teachings of the Quran. Whatever life Allah Ta'ala has granted us, should always make a little bit of contribution towards the deen of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Always. Our namaz, farz, that is there on its place. Always a bit of khidmat of deen in whatever way we can, whatever capacity we can. Very important. It goes a long way. And this is our tutti frutti broken sort of khidmat we can do. May Allah Ta'ala accept, inshallah. Even that bit of khidmat and that bit of time we do for the sake of deen, at least we stay out of trouble. At least that 5 minutes and 10 minutes and 15 minutes, we stay out of guna. That's the most important thing. Otherwise, we don't do anything like this. We sit down, what are we going to do? We all know what we're going to do. So that sometimes it's good to keep ourselves busy in some khidmat of deen, some khidmat of khalq, so that at least that time, at least we're away from guna and sin. At least that time. Our mashayikh and great scholars and akabin and buzruks, for them, whatever spare time they had, mashallah, it was always in reading books, studying. They had that shauk. Whether they had to teach or not to teach, whether it didn't matter. Their life was like that. But our life is such that any spare time, guna. Any spare time, guna. We know. So best to keep ourselves busy. Whatever contribution you can make. So at least we abstain from guna more than anything else. Anyway, Surah Kahf consists of 120 verses, all of which were revealed in Makkah al-Mukarramah. The surah derives its name from the incident of the people of Kahf, the people of the cave, whose story is narrated in the surah. The surah also contains the story of Hazrat Musa alayhi wasalam, Hazrat Khidr, the story of Dhul-Qarnayn, and also the barbaric Ya'juj and Ma'juj have also been mentioned in this surah. Commentators mention that the Yahud told the Mushrikeen to pose 3 questions to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in order to confirm whether he's a prophet or not. The first question was related to the soul. Mentions in the Surah, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْرُوحِ قُلِ الْرُوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. The second question concerned the story of the people of the cave. Because these were incidents of the past. How the Prophet ﷺ know? Anybody? There was no one to teach him. So anyway. And the third was the story of Dhul-Qarnayn. The reply to the first question, Ruh, was discussed in Surah Banu Israel, and the second two appear in Surah Kahf. So by posing these questions, they wish to assess the truth about the prophethood of Rasulullah ﷺ. However, when the replies were favorably received, Prophet ﷺ gave the right and the true response, neither the Jews nor the Mushrikeen accepted Islam at all. So basically, they're just looking for an excuse to deny and reject Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's so many virtues of Surah Kahf mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hadith of Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that person who learns the first 10 verses of Surah Kahf will be saved from the evil of Dajjal. First 10 verses of Surah Kahf. So we should learn ourselves the first 10 verses of Surah Kahf and teach our children as well, the person. Because we're in a zamana of fitna. I'll talk about that inshallah in a bit. According to another narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever of you encounters Dajjal should recite the first 10 verses of Surah Kahf before him, and he will be protected from his fitna. Another hadith mentions the last 10 verses of surah will secure protection against Dajjal. Another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that the person who recites Surah Kahf on a Friday will have a celestial light until the following Friday. Special nur, special light. And according to another hadith, it means that his grave will be illuminated for that week. So if he was to die, subhanallah, when he's buried, for that whole week, his qabr will have so much nur and light. Oh, subhanallah. Amazing. Just by reciting one Surah Kahf, Allah is ready to give so much for so little. Anybody? How long does it take to recite Surah Kahf? 10 minutes? 15 minutes? Our sins are forgiven, saved from the greatest fitna of Dajjal. And then Allah Ta'ala illuminates our graves, our qabr. So why deprive ourselves of the recitation of Surah Kahf? Another hadith in Bayhaqi states that the person who recites Surah Kahf as it was revealed shall have light on the day of judgment. Subhanallah. Special nur will be coming out from his body, merging from his body. One on the day of Qiyamah will have nur and light coming out from our limbs because of wudu. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be able to recognize his ummah, ghurram muhajjaleen min asari wudu. The pishani, anybody, and the limbs will be shining on the day of Qiyamah. Those who did a lot of wudu. Who does a lot of wudu? Those who perform salah constantly, they perform wudu a lot. If you don't perform salah, you're not going to do wudu a lot. Those who recite the Quran and touch the Quran a lot, they perform wudu quite a lot. Anybody? And in another hadith, it mentions that recites the person who recites Surah Kahf on a Friday will be saved from all problems for the following 8 days. Subhanallah, we have problems every day, every minute. Who is not free from any problems? So for 8 days, Surah Kahf Allah. After Surah Kahf for 8 days, inshallah Allah will remove all those difficulties. And it's also mentioned that if within those 8 days Dajjal was to appear within that period, he will be saved from him as well. Protected from him. So may Allah give us the tawfiq. You know this Surah Kahf, the virtues of Surah Kahf, is that a person will be protected from the fitna of Dajjal. And so many hadiths mention about Dajjal and recitation of Surah Kahf as a link with protection from Dajjal. But have you noticed, in the whole of Surah Kahf, there's no mention of Dajjal. There's no mention of Dajjal at all. If the fazilat and virtue is of, it protects you from the fitna of Dajjal, Dajjal would be mentioned. No mention of Dajjal, mention of Zulqarnain, mention of Yajuj and Majuj, but no mention of Dajjal, no mention of Dajjal at all. So, what's he trying to say? What's the connection? Actually, in Surah Kahf, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala talks about 6 trials and fitnas in Surah Kahf has been mentioned. And those 6 trials and fitnas mentioned in Surah Kahf will be the fitna of Dajjal. Will be what Dajjal will bring just before his coming and during while he is on the face of this earth. This is what we mentioned. One fitna and one trial will be the fitna of oppression and injustice. When Dajjal about to come in the dunya, before that there will be a lot of oppression, there will be a lot of zulm, there will be a lot of injustice. Don't we see that now? And I'm not just talking about an international level, even low level. جیسے مقتدی ویسے امام ہے. The way our, the public are, that's how our leaders are going to be. And that's how Allah then brings upon us such leaders. Because we ourselves do oppression, zulm, injustice. Anybody? In many ways. If you go to do marriage counseling, mental health counseling, all those who do different types of counseling, you'll find out, those who go to abuse counseling, you go to them, their statistics and how many people do zulm. Domestic level, family level. And I'm not just talking about just normal people who are apparently deendar. Because we don't really regard hukukul ibad as part of deen. Hukukullah is there, namaz, salah, ibadah, apparent. But hukukul ibad, the rights of fellow human beings, even if it's a non-Muslim, even if it's an animal, even if it's a pet, Islam lays a lot of emphasis on the rights and hukuk. Why? Because human beings are weak. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. And Allah would not forgive any abuse related to hukukul ibad, servants of Allah. Allah will forgive his rights. You've missed your salah, whatever, fasting, whatever, Allah could forgive. But Allah does not forgive hukukul ibad. Why is it? Why is it that Allah is ready to forgive his haq? But if you do zulm on any of his servant, any of his banda, any human being, any insan, Allah is not ready to forgive. Why is that? Why? Big question. Allah is ready to forgive his own right. Allah's ibadat, Allah's worship. Hukukullah. Yet Allah is ready to forgive his right, but not the right of a fellow human being, any insan, any banda. Mufassirin give an answer to this. It's an amazing answer. It's because Allah is not in need of our ibadat and worship. Allah is not in need of our ibadat and worship. But human beings are in need of each other. Human beings are in need of each other's compassion, mercy, love, loyalty, assistance, help. That's how Allah has created the dunya. Countries need each other. You know, if one country says, "By I boycott this and I boycott this and I'm not going to help," what happens? And if every country, we're not going to help each other, how is the world going to work? Well, it doesn't work. Similarly, Allah Ta'ala has created human beings in such a manner we all need each other. We need to be there to support each other. That's why in the hadith, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions, he who fulfills a need of one person, he needed something, anything. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala fulfilled 73 of his needs on the day of Qiyamah. 73 of his needs. We learn that ikram-e-Muslim, helping one another. Assisting one another. Al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. Musliman is that person from his zaban, his tongue, his hands, another Muslim is mahfuz, is protected, no harm come to him. In another hadith, rewriting, man salima al-Nas, it just talks about general human beings, not just Muslims. But we cause so much taklif, so much harm to each other. Physical abuse, emotional abuse, you name it. And then people go into depression, people want to end their lives, people go into prison, or people just suffer in silence for the rest of their lives and the whole life becomes Jahannam. May Allah protect us. You know, we should be very, very careful. Very, very careful. So he will come, the fitna of trials, the fitna of oppression, zulm, justice. Also, the fitna of Dajjal will be, one of the fitna of Dajjal will be love of the rich and powerful. It doesn't mean you'll become rich, but even though you're not rich, you love the rich. You love the powerful. You like to be associated with them. How many people like that? That is another big fitna. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would always sit with who? The poor people. He would always sit with people whose hearts were broken. And once Quran was being recited, dhikr was taking place in the masjid, and the sahaba were sitting there. Half of them did not have any clothing, you know, ripped clothing, not even cover the whole body, very, very poor. And Prophet came and just sat down. Ya Rasulullah, are you coming, sitting here? Allah has commanded me to sit with you. Why? Because Allah is there where there's broken hearts, Allah is there. This is Imamul Anbiya, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. Then another fitna which also come is the trial of wealth and children. That will also be a big fitna. Wealth will become a hindrance for people coming towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For understanding the purpose of life. Allah mentioned that in the Quran, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. Indeed, your mal, your wealth, and your awlad, and your children will be a fitna, will be a test. A person sometimes is so engrossed in his wealth, there's no time for Allah, no time for deen, no time for ibadat, no time for his family. That is a big fitna. When wealth is not everything. Allah mentions, مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَذُ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. Whatever you have is going to perish one day. What Allah has is going to remain. Another fitna that Dajjal will also bring is arrogance in one's lineage. I am from this family, I am from that family, I am from this family. Anybody? I belong to that tribe, I belong to this. Arrogance in one's lineage. Anybody? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, he mentioned to the Arabs as well at that time that an Arab has no fazilat and virtue over a non-Arab, and non-Arab has no fazilat and virtue over an Arab except for your taqwa and your piety. Ya ayyuhan nas inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha waj'alnakum shu'uban wa qaba'il. Allah has made you into different shoba, different qabail, different tribes, different cultures. What's the reason behind that? Lita'arafu, so you'll be able to recognize one another. Anybody? We all from different clans, different tribes. So if we're all identical, it would be very difficult. We all have the same features, same clan, same thingy. We won't be able to identify one another. It's the hikmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you get people from many, many different ways. Even from our own culture, our own place, people still have different cultures from our own place. People from India, but they'll have different cultures. So many languages. People from Pakistan, so many different cultures within that. So many different languages. Same as Bangladesh and so many other countries. That is the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. Among the signs of Allah is the creation of the heavens and the earth and the variation in your languages. Not just speaking different, like Gujarati, Urdu, but even that same language that you're speaking will have different accent. People from Scotland speak English differently. From Lancashire, their accent is differently. People from the Midlands differently. Wales differently. London differently. Why? Lita'arof. You have to recognize, yes, I can tell you from London. I can tell you from here. I can tell you from here. It's Allah's greatness. But at the end, after that, Allah mentions, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. But that doesn't give you fazila over the other. That doesn't give superiority over the other. The only thing that grants you superiority is your taqwa. You may be living in Madinatul Munawwara, the blessed place, the blessed land, but you have no taqwa. And one person could be living in a something faraway country in Europe or East America, wherever they may be, but they've got taqwa, so that person will be more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. More closer to Allah. Allah Ta'ala looks what is in our heart, in our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But may Allah Tabarak wa ta'ala grant us a tawfiq to understand this fitness. And I'll conclude these two more fitness need to mention, and inshallah conclude next week, inshallah, before the month of Ramadan. May Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq to recite Surah Kahf constantly, and gain the virtues of Surah Kahf. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahu wa bihamdika, wa atubu ilayk.